Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? So for those here this morning or listening online who do not know who I am, my name is Rudy, and I'm one of the elders here at Restoration. And for those who do know me, most of you who do know me also know a fact about me, and that is that I am a South Carolina Gamecock fan. Hold your applause, please. Thank you. We got to keep going. So that's right. I mean, I have to sit here every week like you and listen to Adam's jokes and one-liners, and as he constantly forgets about the years 2009 to 2013 and never seems to mention those. But for my entire life, as far as I can, long as I can remember, I've been a Gamecock fan. I grew up going to games with my dad and watching them on TV, and I really got into it in Lou Holtz's second year at South Carolina because we ended up that year buying season tickets. And so for the next 7 years until I went to seminary, I never missed a home game. And also, I went to a lot of the away games that were close enough by that we could get there and get back for church on Sunday. But I went to all the games. And I've been there, and I've saw some awesome victories, and I've seen some crushing defeats in my years as a Gamecock fan. But I've never wavered. And I've always stayed committed to being a Gamecock fan. Even though it's not always been easy, I've always stayed there. And me and my dad had always had this rule that no matter what, win or lose, no matter how bad it got or how good it was, we never left a game that we were attending early. We would stay until the clock hit all zeros, no matter what. And my dad, we used to always tell me, he's like, son, no, we're going to support our team until the bitter end, win or lose, no matter what. That's what it means to be a fan. You always support your team. I remember even as we would sit in the stands in our seats and the people would begin to file out at the end of the third quarter or middle of the fourth quarter, and my dad would look at people and he would say to them without fail, he would say, do you not know that they'll sell you a ticket for all four quarters? You know, they will sell you a ticket for the whole game. And so, and we meant it. We never left early. On November the 22nd, 2003, I guarantee you, we were the only Gamecock fans left at Williams-Brice Stadium at the end of that 63-17 embarrassment. But we were still there all the way until the end. I have watched games in the rain. I have sat there and watched entire games in the freezing cold in Knoxville, Tennessee, in the end of October. And I have watched numerous games in the blazing August heat of Columbia, South Carolina. And I've sat there throughout the entire game till the bitter end of the game. Even one time when we were playing Clemson at Clemson and we were tailgating before the game playing football, I came down wrong and sprained my ankle and could hardly walk. I hopped all the way to Death Valley and watched the whole game, got down on the field, found an Anderson County deputy that we knew that gave me a ride on a golf cart back to my car, and then went to urgent care, got x-rays, boot, and crutches. But I wasn't going to miss the game. Why? Because that was important and I was committed. And I was going to stay no matter what because why? I was a true fan. And I believe that true fans support your team, win or lose, good or bad. You're going to be a true fan. But the conviction for me came when God asked me, Rudy, are you a true fan of me? And it was like, easy now, God. Let's don't get too extreme here. So you've called us in week six of our summer series, We Are the Church. And today what we're going to look at is what it means to be a committed member, what it means to be a faithful follower of Christ. And I'm going to use those terms, committed and faithful, interchangeably throughout the sermon. So they mean the same thing in this sermon for this week. But before we dive in, I want to do a quick review for those who may not have been here or have missed parts of the last 6 weeks. So we started this series by asking the question, what is the church? And we answer that by saying that the church is the people in God and dwell by the Spirit of God who follow Jesus. And then we said that that is all hinged in, on the foundation of the gospel. And that the gospel is just basically that God's being led to his doing and working in our lives, which then transformed our being, which then fuels our doing, which basically means that everything we do for God, everything we do as believers for God and for the glory of God is based solely on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because of what he did, that's why we do. And just like we said every week, we serve because Christ served. We give because Christ gave. We bear with one another because Christ bore our burdens. We are spiritually maturing, as Joe talked about last week, because Christ is mature. And we're going to talk about this week, we are committed because Jesus is faithful. And we're going to spend the majority of our time today looking at Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 14, beginning with verse 8. But before we do that, I want to open us up in a word of prayer. So let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much for who you are. And Lord, I just pray that as I preach this sermon this morning, Lord, that I speak this truth this morning, I just pray that you would just hide me behind your cross, Lord, that your truth, what you would have to say would come out this morning, Lord, and you would just remove everything that's rooty. Lord, I pray for everyone that is listening online or here this morning, I pray that we would have open hearts to receive your word this morning. And Lord, I also just pray for the other churches that are lifting your name on high. I pray for Pastor Sean, Lord, and Live Oak Church out on John's Island. Lord, as they meet today, I just pray that you would just bless their ministry on John's Island and continue to grow your kingdom there through their ministry. And Lord, we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dive in. Luke wrote it, Acts. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. Acts 14, verse 8. The words will be up on the screen if you need them. It says, in Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in Laconian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was outside the city gates, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Point number one, a faithful member points people to Jesus, not himself. I don't know about you, but when I read stories in the Bible, especially narrative type stories, I like to try to put myself in the story and say, and try to imagine what I would have done if I was in that situation. Now, of course, I always would do the right thing or say the right thing because that's what I do in real life. Let me pause and let Nicole quit laughing and then we'll continue. But I always, you know, we always try to do that. We think that, you know, we would do better than them, but we try to put ourselves in the story. So let's do that for a second. Let's think. What would we do if we were there? So you're on your first mission trip. Never been on one before. You're going on your mission trip and things aren't going so hot. You get to a city and you start preaching and you start telling the gospel and people are listening to you. People are excited. But then there's always this group of people that come along and get everybody to turn against you and run you out. And then you get to this little city called Lystra. And everything's going great. You're up there, you're preaching the gospel, and you look out and you see this crippled man sitting on the ground in front of you. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, I want you to heal that man. So you say, all right. So you look at that guy and you tell him, get up and walk. And immediately the guy stands up and starts running around. Well, I don't know about you, but at this point, all bets are off. I mean, we're high-fiving, we're chest bumping, we're doing the COVID fist bump, everything we can do just to celebrate what Jesus has done. And I'm celebrating with Barnabas, and I'm having a great time, and we're praising Jesus, and everybody starts screaming in their native tongue, and I don't know what they're saying because I don't speak Laconian. And so I just think they're doing the same thing as I am, and they're praising Jesus, and we're just celebrating. And then I start to realize they're not praising God. They think I am a God. And not only do they think I'm a God, they're about to offer sacrifices to me because they think I'm a God. So what do I do now? And before we jump up and say, I'll do exactly what Paul did and give that good Christian answer, let's flip the script a little bit. Let's say you have faithfully served in Restoration Kids, students of Restoration, as a greeter, as an usher, in the band, whatever the case may be, for years and years and years. But no one has ever acknowledged your service and your sacrifice. No one has ever personally thanked you. Do you get mad? Do you get upset? Do you begin to pout? Do you possibly even leave the church because of it? Or do you keep on trucking and serving because you're not here for the praise of man? You're here for the glory of God. Not here for you, you're here for him. Or let's just say you were one of the very generous people that donated a bunch of money to Immeasurable. Or maybe you just signed the commitment card in the last few weeks and said you were going to give a bunch of money to the building project, but no one ever thanks you personally. No one ever acknowledges how much money and sacrifice that must have been. Do you get upset? Or did you give out of the heart of gratitude for the glory of God? Let's say you come to church for service every week, every other week, once a month, once a quarter, whatever you do. Or then let's say you also go to Restoration Men and you also go to Restoration Women and you're involved in community groups, but you just don't ever feel like certain people want to talk to you. You feel like you get left behind and nobody makes you feel connected and it's you. Do you get mad? Do you get upset? Do you walk away? Or do you come to church first to glorify and worship God and to make connections and socialize second? Now I want to pause there because I know this is a sensitive topic and I want to be very clear and I want to make sure you're hearing what I am saying and not what I'm not. Because the relationships we build and we foster and the connections we make while we're here at church are very important and vital to the life of the believer as we continue on and we walk on in this life. We do it in community. We need community. But that is not the most important thing that we do here. That is not the most important reason that we have church. The number one purpose of church is to glorify Jesus Christ and to spread his name throughout all the ends of the earth. That's why we're here. We build those connections second. We're here first to glorify God. And look, I understand. I get it. I have made friendships here and connections here that I'll believe will last for the rest of my life, whether God keeps me and my family here at Restoration or he decides somewhere down the road to call me somewhere else, to serve him somewhere else. We've made some awesome friendships in our 5 years here at Restoration. Some of those friends have already moved on to somewhere other places. Some of them are still here. And I see the value of that, but I also know that those type of relationships are a two-way street. And it involves work and commitment on my side as well as other people. And I believe with all my heart that I've been able to build those relationships and those friendships because we're here. I'm here almost every week, but I don't only just come to church, I serve. My wife serves. When we realized that this is where God wanted us to be, we took the first starting point class we could get in. And as soon as that was over, we found a community group and we started into a community group to build community and make friends here. We're in huddles. We go to church activities like baptisms and sports camp and all the other stuff that the church does outside of Sunday mornings. Why? Because we love this church. We're invested in this church and we want to invest in the people of the church. But we realize that to do that, you have to do something. And I don't say that to boast or brag because I can't. I can't boast and brag because it's not me. I say that because in all my years in ministry, whether that was the time I spent as lead pastors in other churches or the time I've spent as an elder here, I've seen numerous people come up and say, I am leaving because I don't feel connected. I am leaving because I don't think that this program or this thing is up to where it needs to be. And I'm going to go find a church somewhere where it is. I'm going to go find a church somewhere where people will spend time and make me feel special. It's basically what you're saying. But my first question to someone who says that is, what have you done about it? Have you taken advantage of all the activities and programs that the church has made available for you so that you can be connected? The programs that you think aren't up to par, have you invested in those programs? Have you put blood, sweat, and equity in those programs to make them better? Are you just a complainer? Do you want everybody to come to you and build you up and put you on a pedestal and cater to you and baby you? Or do you want to come and serve God and glorify God and spread his name and his kingdom? Because I promise you, if you take part in what we have made available for you, you will build community. But see, if you're one of those people that show up at the second song, halfway through it, and walk in the back doors, trying to find a seat in the dark, and then leave as soon as church is over, but then you want to complain that no one ever talks to you, when? Are you one of those people that want to stand around and watch everybody else work after church as we have to tear this building down, but then complain that none of the leaders talk to you, none of the leaders are sociable? Well, somebody's got to do the work. I mean, it's us or somebody. We want to go home too. We want to eat too. So if nobody else is going to do the work, then we have to do it. And for those programs that you think aren't up to par, are you just the person that complains about it? Or do you show up with solutions? Do you show up and say, you know what? I see a gap here. And this is what I think we can do to fix it. Are you somebody that just wants to show up and say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this needs to be better, this needs to be better, and then that's it. I have given you my great wisdom of what everything that's wrong. Now I'm going to walk away. You figure it out. See, I think for many of us, we bring in this American idea of this whole everything's about us. And we bring that me-centered philosophy and we bring it to the church. But as Christians, we have to fight that. We have to push back on that. We have to do as Paul says in Romans 12, to transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds. And we have to change that mindset to know that it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. We are here to bring the lost people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if we aren't more concerned about the lost people in this room today, watching online today, or in this community on Miami Street, Tampa Street, in the surrounding areas that we minister to, if you're not more concerned about them than you are yourself, there's a problem. And you need to go back and listen to the whole series all over again, especially last week, because it's time to grow up. Because it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And we can't ever forget that. Let's continue on. Verse 19. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up, went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they have put their trust. Number two, a faithful member perseveres. Here you have a guy who was stoned and left for dead. Now, I think at this point, going back to putting myself in the story, this is when I would go home. And I could easily make it into God's will, because there's no way God would want me to continue on this mission trip, all cut up, beaten, broken bones, after I'd just been stoned. They thought I was dead and drug me out to the, outside the city gates because they didn't want me to lay dead on their streets. I think I could say, all right, God, I get you. You're telling me I'm done here. It's time to pack it up and go home. But thank God that Paul's in this story, not Rudy. Because what does Paul do? Paul gets up, he sleeps it off, and then he gets up the next morning, walks some 20 to 30 miles to Derbe, preaches the gospel in Derbe, after being stoned and walking for 30 miles, sees all these people come to Jesus, and then he goes back to Lystra. That's right. I didn't misspeak. Not only does he get up and keep going, the joker turns around and goes back to the very place that stoned him. And I don't know about you, but I think I would have given it a couple weeks, a couple months, years, before I went back to Lystra. Maybe the people that stoned me were gone by then. Or at least converted or something, you know, enough believers there that they could protect me. I don't think I'd go back in the next couple of days. But Paul did. He persevered. Now I wonder sometimes if Paul was thinking about moments like this when he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you too. See, It's not commitment if you're only there when it's easy. Everybody wants to be a fan of the team that's winning. We even have a word for those people. But see, the faithful fans, the committed fans, the true fans are there when it's good and when it's bad. They're there when it's popular and when it's unpopular, when it's easy and when it's hard. They're always there. And at this time, I'm going to ask a very hard, difficult question. And I pray that you will hear me out before you completely tune me out, get mad, send me a scathing email, whatever the case may be. Hear me out to the end, please. But that question is this. For those of you who have decided to watch online during COVID, is that based solely on medical necessity and need? Or is that just the excuse you use? Let me explain. I've sat here through this entire thing, and I've sat back and I watched. And in being in pure transparency here and wanting to lay it all on the table, I'm one of those people that although I believe this is a real virus, I don't think it's fake, I do believe it's dangerous for some people and people have died. I do believe also it's been blown out of proportion. And I know that there's people that don't agree with me on that, and that's fine. One of those people lives in the same house as me and sleeps in the same bed as me, and that's okay. But I'm also willing to, as Adam talked about 2 weeks ago, to bear with my brothers and sisters in Christ as we navigate through this very trying, difficult, unknown time with love and grace and understanding, knowing that we may not always agree. But see, my concern, what really bothers me sometimes, is the inconsistencies I have seen in the last few months. Let me explain to you what I mean. I've watched on Facebook and in person as people got super excited that the restaurants and the stores were opening back up. They were so excited to be able to go shopping again or to go to that favorite restaurant and actually dine in because takeout is not the same as eating there, especially Mexican. Let's just get real. If you can't get unlimited chips and salsa, then why go? So excited to go back. And trust me, I'm with you. I love my food. It's very easy. I work out 5 days a week so that I can eat the way I want to eat. I'm not changing the way I eat. I mean, I'm just not. I mean, I just keep working out so I kind of maintain. But I get it. I'm with you. And so you're so excited about going back to the restaurants and the shops. But church? Nah, that's just too risky. And you may say to me, well, Rudy, you don't understand. I got a lot more control at the restaurant. I don't have to sit next to anybody. I have control of everything. I don't have to worry about anything. To which I would say, have you ever watched an episode of Kitchen Nightmares? That's all I'm going to say. Just watch one if you haven't. Well, what also, I've seen people so excited that their kids were going to be able to play sports again. And they were going to take spring ball and they were going to put it in the summer in Charleston. And your kids were going to be out there sweating with all these other kids. But church, nah, that's too risky. Did y'all just lose me? Okay. I watched as people were so excited that the gyms were opening back up, that they could go on vacations, that they could go to the beach, and they can go to all these places with all these people in these theme parks, water parks, Disney World, all that stuff was coming back. They were so excited to be able to go there. But church, too risky. I have personally seen in my full-time job, as Lowe's and Home Depot cannot keep their shelves full. And they have put out record sales. And the company I work for, Scott's Miracle-Gro, has put out record sales fueled by the last 5 months. In fact, I can say this now because it has been reported to Wall Street and is public knowledge. We have had a goal going in to this year that we would do $100 million more than we did last year. That was the charge that we received at our sales conference. As of the end of June, with 3 months left in our year, because our year ends September 30th, we had beaten that goal by $500 million. So we already took the $100 million and put another $500 million on top of it. And by the way, myself, my family, we thank you for the bonus that I'm going to receive in December. But I watched that, and I've seen people just flock to Lowe's and Home Depot, even when masks were not even required. When you didn't have to wear a mask to go into the store, you didn't have to do any of that stuff. And the virus was at its rampant, and we still thought everybody was going to die, and we didn't know how bad this thing was and how contagious this was. We didn't have all the facts that we have now. And I watched people just go boom, 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 boom. Couldn't keep lumber in the store. I couldn't keep soils in the store. Couldn't keep fertilizer in the store. Couldn't keep anything in the store. But church, nah, that's just too risky. So again, I ask, are you at home because you need to be? And there's people that need to be. Or is that just what you convinced yourself? And again, I want to be very clear here. I don't want to make it sound like, and I definitely will never do this, I can't know your heart, your motive, your intentions. I'm just up here asking difficult questions because I believe personally, a personal conviction of mine, is you cannot stand up here and proclaim God's word if you're not willing to ask difficult questions. Because as sinful human beings, sometimes we need somebody to get up in our grill and ask us the hard questions. But I don't know your motives, and I would never begin to even question your motives. I just want to ask you to ask yourself and the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Do you need to stay home? And if you do, please, please, please stay home. I don't want anyone to get sick or, God forbid, even die from this virus because of your pre-existing conditions. But if you're just using it as an excuse to stay in your pajamas and not put any effort into worshiping God, then maybe you need to question your motives. And if you're still mad at me and you still want to send that email, my email is joe@lifeatrestoration.com. Again, that's joe@lifeatrestoration.com. All right, verse 27. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all the good that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. The third and final point, a faithful member values accountability. Here you have Paul and Barnabas. They get back from their first missionary journey. They immediately go and spend time with the other apostles and disciples to just debrief. This is what God did. This is what we saw. This is what happened. Here is the guy that ends up writing half the New Testament who sees the value in having accountability with other mature believers. And that is why we at Restoration, we as the elders and staff of Restoration, put so much emphasis on community groups and huddles. That is why we have made them a vital part of our mission to make and equip disciples who love, lead, and serve. Because we believe, we know that those two avenues, community groups and huddles, are the best way for you to receive the accountability that we all need to do this life in a fallen, sinful world. Because we are all fallen, sinful creatures, and we need other people in our lives who can hold us accountable and help us as we grow in our maturity in Christ to live a life that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. That accountability has to be there. And so as we come to an end for this sermon series, as Adam's going to close it out next week and tie the bow on it, I believe that what we see here in Acts about being faithful and committed followers of Jesus Christ, I believe we can apply that to everything we've heard to this whole series. Because if we get committed and sold out to Jesus Christ, and we make it where everything we do is all about him and not about us, then we can serve, we can give, we can bear one another's burdens, we can grow in our maturity with God, Christ, and we can do it in a more smooth transaction. Look, I think when we finally get there, everything we do, we will do with excellence. Because of who we're doing it for. Just a little extra nugget there. I'll give this to you for free. It wasn't even in my notes. It's very disheartening sometimes to see people who do things for God, but do it halfway. It's really disheartening when you pay them to do it, but it's even disheartening when they do it for volunteer-wise. Because my question is, who are you doing it for? And why even volunteer to do it if you're not going to give it your all? But see, when we do everything we do as believers for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, then we do it with 100% of what we have. No one's got to follow up behind us and make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. No one has to worry if you're going to actually show up when you say you're going to be there. Because you're committed. And you know that this is more than just you. This is more than just a serving on a Sunday morning. This is about the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. This is about the salvation of the people who are lost and on their way to hell. That's why we're committed. We are committed because Christ was faithful. He was faithful all the way to the cross. So we too should be faithful in all we do. For him. Let's pray. Lord God, again, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that you are faithful. And that God, even when I'm not, even when I'm in my little pity party, you're still faithful and right there with me. And Lord, I just pray that as we come to this time of response, I just pray that we would all allow you to search our hearts and to show us where we truly stand in our commitment to you. Lord, we can be committed to all these other things in our lives, and we can become total sold out to them. But Lord, just think what we could do as a body of believers if we get totally sold out to you. Lord, we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this time, just a few short minutes, 2 to 3 minutes of quiet prayer and reflection. I'll be on the side. One of the elders will be over here as well on the side that you can pray with if you want to pray with someone. But at the end of that few minutes, Daniel and the band will come up and we'll sing our final song. But let's just take this time of reflection and prayer right now.
If you guys need some more time to stay seated here at home to continue praying, please do that. We're going to continue to worship with one more song.
Triumphant praises. without end. Oh, hailing the King of righteousness. And every eye beholds the one our hearts were undeserving of, with a grace so glorious. And oh, the glory of the Savior's love, surrounding our surrender to know forever we are welcomed home, crowned in glory.
Take it with the heart that it was given, and just do what we can to be committed, faithful followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to close out in prayer, but before I do that, I just want to say, as we've been saying the last few weeks, Lord willing, hopefully, we're being told sometime in October we'll be able to be in our own building. Well, that also means that sometime soon we'll have to go back to two services, and being in our own building is going to provide more serving opportunities. If you are willing and able to serve as a greeter, or usher, a parking lot attendant, whatever the case may be, we ask that you go to the connections table outside the doors here. Just fill out, let them know that you're interested in serving. Someone will contact you. That's all you have to do is fill out the form. If you're watching online or not here today, you can go online and fill out the same form through the Connects tab and serve and being willing to serve. We're going to need more people to step up and serve. I know Stephanie is going to need more people and Restoration Kids as well. So anybody who's willing to help out, we would greatly appreciate your service. But let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, again, I just thank you so much for who you are. And Lord, I just pray that as we leave this place,
Lord, that we would leave in a way that better than what we came. Lord, that as we've heard your word, we've worshiped you this morning. Help us to turn around and leave this place on fire, ready to take your gospel, your light, into a dark, dark world. And Lord, we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those of you here who have kids in Restoration Kids, we ask that you swiftly grab your kids, please, and socialize after. That is the only area we have to tear down. So if you'll go get your kids, and if you have a strong back and weak mind like James, you can run down there and help us bring all the stuff from the kids department into the auditorium so that, again, everybody can get out of here in a timely manner.